Well, there's a growing trend among people all over the world, and it's this strange thing called self-marriage. Have you heard of this? Self-marriage. It's where you have a wedding ceremony, but the person you wed is yourself. So you still invite all of your friends and family, you actually still recite vows, and when the ceremony is all said and done, you are officially married to yourself. I cannot make this up. So supposedly self-marriage has been around since the year 2000, but this is news to me. I sure wish I would have heard of it before my wedding last year. Because self-marriage is genius, you know? No one would make me take turns choosing which Netflix show we watch. And I would never have to open the freezer only to discover that someone had eaten the last of the Talenti double chocolate gelato. But people have been known to spend upwards of $11,000 on their self-marriage day. You see how there's just the one person on the top of that cake. But you could go the cheap route. You could get a kit complete with a sterling silver ring. You know, just picture it. With this ring, I me wed. So with that, I take you back to our sermon series, which is not called Better Alone, but Better Together. It's about how actually we need each other, even though that gets messy and hard. No, it's not easy to let people into your life and have to share and show your junk, but we believe we are better for it, better together. So our sermon series takes us through the book of Ephesians, where people were having a problem, and Paul was writing to try to correct that problem. And you can hear it in the passage Pastor David just read for us, because Paul says, so remember, and then he says it again, remember, you know, anytime you have to tell someone twice in a row, hey, remember, you know that they have a tendency to keep forgetting something. You remind someone of something when they keep forgetting or when they don't quite grasp how important it is. So what is it that the Ephesians have been forgetting? What's the problem? So remember that at one time, you Gentiles by birth, remember that you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise. It sounds like a pretty harsh thing to have drilled into you, to be reminded over and over again that you were an alien, you were a stranger. Thankfully, Paul finishes by giving us another reminder. He says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near. You are no longer strangers and aliens. You are members of the household of God. And this meant that the Ephesians didn't have to feel separate from their Jewish neighbors. They didn't have to feel like strangers and aliens separated from God's people, because God had done something new through Christ. God had brought everyone together and said, you are now all members of the household of God. You're now all members of the same household. And another word for that is your family. It was no longer about who was born Jewish and who was born Gentile. It was no longer about who followed which set of laws and who was late to the party. It was about what Christ had done. His life, death, and resurrection. It tore down all the old categories and brought people together in one new family. Now, these were people who were used to living disconnected lives. But Paul was saying, remember, that's not our reality anymore, thanks to Christ. For he is our peace, it says. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall. And that's supposed to be true for us today, too. But It feels like there are dividing walls all around. I mean, here we have 1,000 ways to be connected to each other, in our pocket, on our wrist, at our desk, yet it still feels like we're living in that old reality of being strangers, being alien to each other. And Paul says, remember, because of Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near. But you know what? It's scary to be brought near. It's hard to get up close and personal with each other. So we stay safe behind these dividing walls. All the while, Paul is saying, remember, Christ has already made us one. Those of you who are around this summer know that my husband Jordan was gone for 10 weeks doing an internship in El Salvador. So it was self-marriage for Sarah. But the longer I spent on my own this summer, the more I noticed I was preoccupied with questions of safety. You know, Jordan was in El Salvador, the country with the highest murder rate in the world, so I was worried about him, and I was by myself when I wasn't used to that anymore. And all of a sudden, I started struggling with fear. I started having these crazy imaginings like, what if the construction crew across the street knows I'm home alone? Like, does my house need a security system? And, you know, even with Pastor David being gone for 6 weeks on the sabbatical, he was gone from the church, so I started to worry, well, what if someone comes to the church when I'm the only one in the building? You know, these thoughts started to feed on themselves. Well, at the same time all of this was developing, our church launched a new life group, and I started attending. So every couple of weeks, I would sit around the table with fellow Christians of all ages, all family situations, just this hodgepodge mix. And at the end of every life group, there's a chance to collect prayer requests. And, I could have done the pastor thing. I could have been like, how can I pray for you? You know, how can we be supporting you? After all, I'm the one with the clipboard, right? I'm the one writing down names, not lifting up my own. But you reach a point where you can't fake it anymore. I had to tell my group, I'm really struggling with fear for safety. And I feel like an idiot for being afraid. I mean, God knows I'm incredibly spoiled and I have far fewer reasons to fear than most people around the world or even around the rest of this country. But there's the truth. I'm afraid. And you know what my life group did? They listened. They didn't judge. They didn't say, oh, okay, come on. No. My prayer request was written down on the same list next to all the others, next to the request for an elderly father's health to be restored as he battled dehydration, or the request for marriages to be strengthened and saved, or the request for the coworker with cancer who was using this season to bless others. I mean, that is the gift of these groups. We come to the table with all our junk, all our needs, all our fears, and people meet us there. I think we put up walls to protect our independence and protect our privacy because deep down we know that we can't do this on our own, and it's really hard to admit that. Yet somehow God keeps tearing these walls down, and you think it's going to take something cosmically enormous, but the truth is it happens one meal at a time, one conversation at a time, one nervously vocalized prayer request at a time. In Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall. That's our new reality. That wall is broken down. We don't have to be afraid anymore. When life group ended that night, we were loading dishes in the dishwasher and moving chairs back. I was wiping down the counter when one of the group members handed me something. She said, here, Sarah, I thought this might be helpful. It was a little booklet that said the emergency pack. It's a collection of scripture references for whatever problem you're facing. And you're supposed to always keep it with you in the event of an emergency. And I'll be honest, usually when someone hands me something like this, I say, great, thanks. And then I secretly roll my eyes because it's so cheesy or it's so theologically problematic. So I nodded and thanked her, all the while thinking, I'll never use this. But she said, this has helped me. And I just thought, with the different fears you're facing, it might help you too. When everyone had left and I was alone in the house, I skimmed through the table of contents, and they were all statements about God, like page 2, my God is God alone. Page 3, my God cares. Page 4, my God comforts. And then I saw one that said, my God doesn't want me to be afraid. So I turned to that page, and I found the verse I needed the most, the verse that I repeated to myself all through the summer, the verse that became my mantra. And it was from 2 Timothy. And it said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, that's what I needed. I needed that desperately. And I have carried the emergency pack with me ever since. And with it, I carry the prayers of my group. I carry the gracious gift of a friend who saw that I was troubled and reached out. I carry the knowledge that I'm not alone. For he is our peace, says the letter to the Ephesians. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall. And what that means is you don't have to keep up your walls of protection and privacy. You don't have to fake like you have it all together. God is tearing down the walls we've put up because the old way of doing things is gone. The old way of being strangers, being alien to each other, that's over. So if you're ready to share a table with brothers and sisters who will see your flaws and love you anyway, then welcome to the family. Will you pray with me? Thank you. I thank you for every person you have brought into this church family, those who've been here since the beginning and those who are here for the first time. Lord, I know that you have gifted each of them, and we are better together. We are better because of them. God, I ask that you would move in our hearts this season. You would show us places where we can be open to you and to the community around us. We can be open to these new friends you are giving us. Thank you, Lord, for making us family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.